another block. He's got a handful tonight.
Left for play right there.
Porzingis from Jennings. Throw down and a foul.
He throws it ahead to Porzingis. Oh, what a finish. Comes back. Anthony backs in, turns, puts it up, puts it in with 3 seconds remaining. Rose, the crossover, gets to the rim. Oh, what a beauty from Derrick Rose.
Razzle dazzle. Igniting.
Hello and good day. This is the Knicks Nation Podcast, Episode 2. Thank you for joining me. This podcast is brought to you by AdvertiseCast. Make sure you visit my AdvertiseCast website at AdvertiseCast.com/795. With that, you'll be able to give a shout out to yourself or for your own podcast. I come at you guys every week here on the airways, particularly on Sundays. This podcast will be available for download on iTunes and Podomatic. Make sure you subscribe and download so you can hear me every week talk about the New York Knicks. All right, guys, thanks for joining me again. Man, this track is fire. Woo! But nah, I just wanted to talk about, remember last week I talked about the Knicks. Next four games are very crucial because off that road trip when they lost in Golden State and when they lost in Denver, these next four games, I was telling you guys, were very important. So they come back home at the Garden, and they beat the Pacers. They were down 15 in that third quarter, but Carmelo Anthony got hot. He caught fire in that game. Kristaps Porzingis was also hot. Derrick Rose also was a very key factor to that victory, as he was basically unstoppable in the fourth. Carmelo was unstoppable in the third. He couldn't miss it from downtown. And how did the Knicks win that game? Basically from Derrick Rose and his penetration. Derrick Rose's penetration, getting to the rack, getting to the hole. He kicks it out to the open man. And every time the open man, for some reason, was Carmelo Anthony. How do you leave Carmelo Anthony open? Beats me. Go ask the Pacers. But they left him open. And he honestly couldn't miss from the field. 35 points. He was on fire. But yeah, fourth quarter, it was basically Rhodes and Porzingis' show. Noah, nice little comeback game for Joakim Noah after me bashing him on this podcast. I wouldn't say he heard the podcast, but I'm guessing he heard the critics from the media and the fans and whatnot. But he dropped a nice little double-double along with 11 rebounds. And then they played the Magic on Thursday, and they played another solid game all around. Basically, the bench was very important in this game. Brandon Jennings coming off the bench, dropping 12 assists off the bench. Kylo Quinn, another great game. 16 rebounds off the bench to go along with 14 points. And he was a very important piece to this team that I was telling you guys, and as I was telling you guys in the last podcast, because he's been nothing but amazing all year. Once again, he puts up a nice performance against Orlando Magic, just grabbing rebound after rebound. And Willie Hernan Gomez with another solid rookie game, 15 points off the bench with a couple of threes. So the Knicks won two in a row going into Sunday's game. I'm not doing this podcast on Sunday because obviously it's Christmas and I'll be with my family. So I'm giving you guys a little podcast a day earlier. Hopefully you guys listen. I know it's Christmas Eve and I understand, but, you know, just tune in when you can. In this game, fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter, Kristaps Porzingis bangs his knee with, I forgot who it was. I'm going to guess Serge Ibaka, but he came down limping, and you can just hear the Garden moan and be like, no, something wrong. Because when he got up, he could hardly walk. And I was like, oh, my God, please be okay. You saw him on the bike talking to fans. playing around and stuff, but he already said that he's good to go. Christmas Day, Derrick Rose took a hard fall after he tried to jam it in that first quarter. He tried to bring back the old 2011 MVP, Derrick Rose. He tried to jam it on Biombo, but Biombo got the best of him with that nice block. But you love that from Derrick Rose, his aggressiveness, and he is not afraid of anybody. He's not afraid to challenge anybody at the rim. As you guys know, in 2011, before his injuries, he was like a dunk machine. He was basically the Russell Westbrook of today. He was dunking on everybody. I remember the playoffs, Bulls versus Miami. Derrick Rose split the pick and dunked on Joel Anthony and won. The crowd went wild in Miami. I was off my seat. I was like, oh, my goodness. Man, this year, if Derrick Rose dunked on somebody, that would be a gif in like 5 seconds. But, yeah, you can see the importance of Derrick Rose. As I was telling you guys in the last podcast, Derrick Rose is a very important piece to this Knicks team. The game against Indiana, he was playing exceptionally well. He was defending well. I'm telling you, he's a big body. He plays defense. He may, you know, take some possessions off, but, you know, that's who he is now. But Derrick Rose just knows the game of basketball, and you can see when, obviously, he penetrates, kicks it out to different people, Carmelo, Porzingis, and that pick and roll with Porzingis is really well working. And, you know, Derrick Rose has that little float game really working into perfection. Every game, you see him 4 or 5 times, maybe even more than that, with that little float shot. And most of the time it goes in. I mean, you can see him before the games with his weight ball, his great weight ball that he carries around everywhere. I forgot what reporter it was, but he actually came out with a story saying that if Derrick Rose loses that ball, then he's going to get pissed because he carries that ball literally everywhere, on the road, at home, in practices. I mean, it's sort of like when baseball players hit with a heavy bat, when they swing with a heavy bat. So when they pick up their, you know, normal bat, it feels light. Well, that's exactly what Derrick Rose, you know, sort of does when he shoots layups and, like, shoots his little shot in front of the rim with his little heavy ball. So that's it's just working on mechanics. And that's why when he picks up a ball, he seems effortless with his handles, with his drives to the rim. I mean, he's a great player. I mean, that's why the Knicks traded for him. But, you know, we got the game on Sunday, Christmas Day versus the Celtics. Celtics are playing really well. They actually beat Indiana at home. They got some good players on their squad, including Isaiah Thomas, who averages 26.7 points a game, which for his size, he's like 5'9". He's like Nate Robinson's size. That's ridiculous. I mean, the way he angles his body, get into the rack, and can draw fouls. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is an all-star this year. And then you got Avery Bradley, the defensive specialist, is shooting 48% from the field. So the Knicks got their hands full tomorrow on Christmas Day, which is a 12 o'clock game on ESPN. So we'll see how they play. I mean, the Celtics, over the years, have had the Knicks' number. I mean, has this been a rivalry? I wouldn't call it a rivalry, but back in the day it was a rivalry, but I want that rivalry to be ignited again. I want that Celtics-Knicks dirty play, hard fouls, close games down to the wire type of rivalry again. You know, we had the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett times, but I didn't really call that a rivalry because they had our number until we beat them 4-1 in the playoff series in 2012 when we had that nice team, 54 games, winning the Atlantic, and then we beat the Celtics. I was happy that time, but we ultimately lost to the Pacers. But yeah, this Celtics team is a good team. They beat the Knicks early on in the season when the Knicks went over there, and that's when Carmelo Anthony actually got ejected from the game by the nemesis, Tony Brothers, who hates Carmelo Anthony. And even Lala Vasquez agrees with me and agrees with New York. But hopefully Tony Brothers isn't the ref in this game, because Knicks fans will go crazy. And so will I. You'll see me on Twitter and be like, what the beep? But yeah, it should be a good game. Knicks look healthy. The Celtics, I don't think anybody's injured over there. But I think this game will come down to the bench play. I mean, the Celtics don't really have a good bench. The Knicks, I think, have an advantage in that aspect, because you have Willie Hernangómez coming off the bench, Brandon Jennings, of course, and Kuzkuz. Then you have Kylo Quinn, who's been playing out of his mind lately, who I think is the NBA's comeback player of the year. I mean, Brandon Jennings is up there too, because last year he was coming back from an injury and he really wasn't playing to his capable abilities. I mean, we all remember Brandon Jennings when he used to play in Milwaukee when the Knicks missed him by picking Jordan Hill over him. But Brandon Jennings was ultimately, I really thought Brandon Jennings was an all-star when he played in Milwaukee. I mean, hold on, let me pull up his averages here. But as I do that, yeah, I think this game comes down to the bench play. And yeah, I just pulled up Brandon Jennings' stats, so let me read it to you. In Milwaukee, his rookie year, he averaged 15 points a game. Second year, 16 points. Third year, 19 points. So yeah, his first career, he's 15.1 points a game, 15 points a game. But yeah, I think Brandon Jennings has been playing out of his mind lately. And ultimately, that's led to the Knicks' success, because when you have Jennings coming off the bench, dishing and swishing to dishing to Porzingis, dishing to Kylo Quinn, ultimately, in the long run, that's really good for the Knicks. And he's a true New Yorker. He really is. After that game in Washington, when the Knicks lost a terrible game to the struggling Wizards, Brandon Jennings, after that game, took to the mic and basically called out his whole team, basically saying, this team just lost to the 76ers. We're the New York Knicks. How are we going to let the Washington Wizards, who have been struggling all year, to outbattle us? That's unacceptable. And after that statement, when Brandon Jennings said that, and after the Knicks had their little team meeting, you know, with Phil Jackson, on all the air was cleared, that's when I think this team took a turn. You know, they've been winning a lot of games since that meeting. They've been home cooking at home. They're barely losing at home. On the road, they've been playing way better than they've been playing in the beginning of the year. Because in the beginning of the year, the Knicks could not win on the road. They couldn't. In fact, I think they lost their first, what was it, 5 or 6 home games? Don't hold me to that stat, but I'm just, you know, talking. But I really think that was the turning point of the season. And Brandon Jennings might have been the most important player the Knicks got this year in free agency. Courtney Lee is up there too. You know, he's a nice compliment shooting guard. You know, he's one of the top 3-point percent shooters in the NBA, actually. But, you know, Knicks picked up Brandon Jennings for a 1-year, $5 million contract, and he's been amazing. He's been great, you know, and I love him. You know, he's active on social media. He's active on Twitter. You see him on Instagram, you know, after the games, watching films and whatnot. So, yeah, you know, this Knicks bench has a lot to be proud of. They brought the Knicks back in games, some of the games. They've won games for this Knicks team when the starters don't have it. And that's been a lot of games. Let me tell you, that's been a lot of games. So I give props for Phil Jackson and this bench, because we all said in the beginning of the season, this Knicks team has no bench. We all said it. We all were like, where's the depth on this team? Where's it coming from? We have rookies that we haven't seen. We have Brandon Jennings coming off an Achilles injury, who's coming off a horrible year last year. We don't know what we're getting out of him, but, you know, they've been really surprising, and I'm really proud of this bench, and I'm really proud of how the Knicks are actually playing at home and, you know, winning in front of their Garden crowd, you know, actually taking care of home court advantage. And that's really important if you want to make it to the playoffs. You got to take care of home cooking, baby. You got to win at home. Because if you lose on the road, as long as you win it at home, it doesn't matter. But in the playoffs, you got to win on the road. You have to learn how to win on the road. You have to learn how to battle on the road. And you have to learn how to give it your all on the road. Because that ultimately gets you to where you want to be, and that's to a championship. And this Knicks team may not get there this year. They may not get there next year. But every year, I want to see growth. And I don't want Phil Jackson to keep switching these players, blowing up the team. Oh, it didn't work this year. Okay, let's blow it up. Because that's what's been happening every year since Phil's got here. This Knicks team hasn't been a full unit who's been together for longer than 2-3 years. I want to take a team that's been together for 2-3 years, let them grow. By that time, Kristaps Porzingis will be what, 24, 25, in the middle of his prime, hopefully on superstar level status. And this time, LeBron will be declining. He'll be what, 35, 36? Yeah, Melo will be declining too. But we also got Kristaps and we also got D. Rose. I'm not saying the Knicks are going to, you know, win the championship in 2 years, but this is about growth. This is about being consistent year in, year out. Because if you just blow up this team, like let's say the Knicks make it to the playoffs this year, fourth seed. Who do the fourth seed play? They play the fifth seed. So let's say the Knicks are versing, I'm going to say the Pacers. Let's say the Knicks are the fourth seed and the Pacers are the fifth seed. That'll be a good first round playoff series, but I'm going to give the edge to the Knicks. Let's say the Knicks win that playoff series. They advance to the second round and they verse, let's say, Boston. That'll be another hell of a playoff series. Or Boston or Toronto. I don't put the Knicks on Toronto's level yet because Toronto has had time together. They've had time to know each other's tendencies. They have time to grow as a unit. Of course, last year they lost to the Cavs, but you know, as long as LeBron is on his game, on his superstar level status, I don't think anybody in the East is beating him. But you know, this is not about LeBron. This is about growing as a unit and just growing as individuals. But yeah, let's say they verse the Celtics in the second round of the playoffs. That series could very well go 7 games. And I honestly think if the Knicks all played on their all-star levels the way they're capable of doing, if Derrick Rose is on his game, not injured, if Porzingis is on his game, if Melo's on his game, you know, not being the lazy Melo that we always know, you know, if everything goes well, I honestly think, I'm not saying it, but the Knicks could go to the Eastern Conference Finals. They could. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but give me the Knicks versus the Cleveland Cavaliers in Eastern Conference Finals and I'll be happy. Even if they lose, this year will be a success for me. A success. Because you made it that far and you know you're not on Cleveland's level. Even if you lose in 4 or 5 games to the Cleveland Cavaliers, okay. The Cavs just beat the Warriors after being down 3-1. Just give me a game versus the Cavs. Give me 1 win, 2 wins, you know. And then next year, keep the same squad. Build that chemistry even more. And then we'll see what we can do. Stay healthy, you know. Don't do anything stupid. Don't punch no fire extinguishers like Amari did. Don't do anything, you know, out of whack. You know, I'm not saying the Knicks could beat the Cavs, but all I'm trying to say is, we want to get to that level because right now nobody is beating LeBron. Nobody besides the Warriors. Nobody in the East is beating LeBron James. So if the Knicks can just build these next few years as Carmelo gets to the back end of his career and as Kristaps Porzingis grows into a superstar, if the Knicks can build around Kristaps and not build around Carmelo, you know, give Kristaps a point guard like Derrick Rose, honestly think we should keep Derrick Rose next year. I think we should sign him to, you know, a 2-3 year contract. You know, nothing crazy, not a 5-year deal. And God forbid he gets injured, you know, we're stuck with that contract, like the horrible contract we gave Joakim Noah. But, you know, sign Derrick to a 2-3 year deal, maybe 2 years. 2 years, $45 million. 2 years, $50 million. 3 years, $70 million. With a player or team option. Let's see what Derrick has left in the tank this year. He's playing amazing. Yeah, he's had back spasms, but other than that, Derrick Rose has been great. You know, so let's bring back Derrick. Let's help Kristaps grow as a player. Let's surround good players around Kristaps, and let's see where this next team can be in 2-3 years. Because a championship should be the ultimate goal. After you've had some playoff experience with Kristaps this year, hopefully we make it to the playoffs, and it looks like we are going to make it to the playoffs. Next year, same thing. Hopefully we, you know, are an actual dominant team in the East, a team to be reckoned with. Because right now, outside the Cleveland Cavaliers and Toronto Raptors, I really... Tell me another team that's dominant. Tell me. There isn't one. There is not another team outside the Raptors and Cavs that are dominant. In the West, you have the Warriors, the Clippers, the Spurs. Portland is playing well. Grizzlies are playing well. OKC with Russell Westbrook is playing well. You know, the West has a lot of teams, but if we grow into that powerhouse that we should be, then I think Knicks fans and me have something to be looking forward in 2-3 years. I really do, because Kristaps Porzingis is the future of this team. It's not Melo. It's not Melo. It's Kristaps. Kid is only 21. What is he averaging? 20 points, 10 rebounds a game at 21 years old in the NBA. Come on, man. That's hard to do. And Kristaps is doing it. He's crossing people over from the three-point line. He's 7'3", crossing people over. Crossing dudes over from outside the arc, hitting step-back jump shots. There's times when I'm just looking at the TV in awe with my mouth open, like, what is this dude doing? He really is a unicorn. He really is something special. But, yeah, let's just, you know, see what this year brings us and see what next year brings us, and we'll have a full evaluation of what this team is made of and who we can be. Now, when it comes to like the front office and Phil Jackson has an opt-out clause in his contract. He can opt out after this year, but reports that he's staying here. He's not going anywhere. He's 70 years old. You know, he's getting up there in age, but he wants to ultimately win. He wants to bring a championship to New York. And yes, he wants to continue living in L.A. And he ultimately wants to go back to L.A. You know, it's tough being away from your wife and your grandchildren at an old age, like 70 years old. But at the same time, you signed up for this job. This is your job, to make this Knicks team better and to get us to a championship level. That's why we brought you here. That's why James Dolan brought you here. And that's why the New York Knicks and its fans have faith in you. And yeah, it may not have looked pretty these past couple of years. We've had our ups and we've had our downs, but so has every other average team in this league. But this is New York. It's time to make the New York Knicks relevant again. It's time to come to New York as an opponent and be scared of facing us. We need to bring that back to this city, because that's what this city has been missing. The 90s Knicks weren't called the 90s Knicks for no reason. People don't just remember the 90s Knicks just because they got to the finals. No, they fought every possession. They fought. They literally fought the opponents. Literally. We had that heart. We had that concrete jungle mentality. Like, we were in New York. You're not going to come to New York and put up a 30 spot on us, and we're not going to do anything about it. So we got to get back to that level. But I have faith in Phil Jackson. You know, he's made some mistakes. But he brought us Kristaps. He brought us Kristaps Porzingis. You got to give him that. Because without Phil Jackson, we would have picked either Willie Cauley-Stein, who's average, and we would have picked either Justice Winslow, who everybody wanted in New York. But Kristaps was a project. He's 7'3", can shoot the three, can dunk, he can do it, everything. 21 years old. Give Phil Jackson credit for that. And I think Phil Jackson is committed to making this team a championship team. I honestly believe that. I want to believe that. And that's what I can believe. Because what else is he here for? You know, he's getting paid, what, $15 million a year to sit seven rows back to judge a team? Come on. Best job in the world. But he is Phil Jackson. So have faith in them Knicks fans. Have faith. So, yeah, this portion, I'm going to try to switch gears here. This portion of the show, I'm going to try to answer you guys' questions on Twitter. So make sure you follow me, Knicks, at Knicks Nation. Most of you probably are. But I tweeted out for you guys to ask me some questions on Twitter. So I'm going to get into the first question. The first question comes from AK Franchise, at AK Franchise. I guess your name is Jay. He asked, what are the Knicks going to do with Noah and his overpriced contract? That's a great question, but I honestly think there's nothing they can do. They got themselves into this mess, and I think they're going to have to ride with him and hope that he becomes that defensive player again, because, you know, they paid him 4 years, $70 million, and I honestly think you can't trade him, because no team is going to take that contract. You could probably trade him the fourth year, his last year of his deal, because teams are more intrigued by players coming off the last year of their contract. But honestly, there's nothing you can do. And look, he's played bad this year. Yeah, he's injured. I mean, but let's see what he can do when he's, like, fully healthy. You know, let's see what he can bring on the defensive end. These last couple of games, he's answered the critics. You know, he's put up double-doubles. You know, when he sets the hard pick, he's rolling to the basket. You know, he's doing the little dirty things that we paid him to do. I mean, we might have overpaid him, but as of right now, there's nothing the Knicks can do with this contract. They're stuck with him. It's not like, you know, he's a bench player who can't get off the bench right now. You know, he's still a starter. He still has the players' respect. He still gets the Garden crowd hype. You know, he still brings that New York mentality, that New York energy that we've been lacking for all these years. So yeah, let's see what he can bring before the All-Star break, let's just ride with him. The next question comes from Chris at C_Garcia1. Who as a free agent can we sign and why? ? That's a good question. Let me pull up the free agents for 2017. As of right now, the unrestricted free agents are top of the list: Blake Griffin, then you got Derrick Rose, Jeff Green, Ginobili, Serge Ibaka, Amir Johnson, Andre Iguodala, Andrew Bogut. Steph Curry's a free agent, but he's definitely resigning with Golden State. And you got, you know, some bench players: Jrue Holiday, Zach Randolph, Deron Williams, Taj Gibson, Jeff Teague, Ersan Ilyasova. You know, this next year is actually a good free agent pool. But you're asking who would the Knicks get? I don't know right now, because I don't know who, if they're going to bring back Derrick Rose. That's obviously going to eat up most of their cap space. But I would say go with a shooter. Like, I'm looking at the list right now, and Kyle Korver is available. Kyle Korver is a knockdown three-point shooter, and that's what we need. We need more scorers on this team. You know, not necessarily like a scorer that, you know, puts the ball on the floor and scores, but we need more knockdown shooters coming off the bench, because right now Lance Thomas just isn't getting it done. But Kyle Korver is will be a great addition next year. Let's see who else we got here. We got a veteran like Vince Carter. You know, we have a defensive specialist, Dabo Sofolosha, Brandon Rush, good player. Zaza Pachulia, good player. Mo Williams is still a free agent. Steve Novak is available. Brandon Bass, Raymond Felton, Ty Lawson, Ian Clark. But I think the big free agents are Blake Griffin and Derrick Rose next offseason. And I believe, let's look at the restricted free agents. We got Otto Porter Jr., Alex Len. It's a good big. Trey Burke is a good point guard. Then we have Tim Hardaway Jr., who's had a resurrection year in Atlanta, who I've always said will be a good shooting guard. He's a restricted free agent, and I think Atlanta will match whatever comes to him. I thought Chris Paul was available next free agency, but I guess I'm wrong. Hold on, let me just look that up. Yeah, Chris Paul will be available. So if Derrick Rose, it'll be interesting if the Knicks go a different direction and, you know, go after Chris Paul and don't bring back Derrick Rose. But I think if Derrick Rose plays well this year, stays healthy, gets the Knicks far in the playoffs, I think he'll be back. But Chris Paul was supposed to be a Knick. You know, you guys remember like back in 2012 when he made that toast at Melo's wedding, but that just never ultimately happened. They obviously blocked that when they signed Tyson Chandler. But it'll be interesting. You know, this offseason will be very interesting. But it all depends on how far the Knicks go in the playoffs. If they don't make it far or if they miss the playoffs, will they blow it up again? And I don't think they should. I just think we should keep growing as a team. I've seen enough positives from this team that will ultimately lead to success. But yeah, those are some two great questions. But I'm gonna wrap this podcast up. I would like to thank you guys for listening. My name is Anthony Isaacs. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Knicks Nation, and you guys can, you know, interact with me, you know. Tell me how I'm doing. Tell me, give me some feedback, even though if it's negative, positive, you know, I don't care. I'm a New Yorker. I take whatever my way. But thanks for listening again. Make sure you download this podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. Make sure you subscribe to Podomatic, my podcast page. And I hope you guys have a happy holidays and Merry Christmas. Spend time with your family. You know, eat up, whether you're going to have Christmas dinner, watch the Knicks tomorrow. Hopefully we get a win. And just hope you guys relax this weekend and take it easy. And I would just like to thank you guys for listening. And I'm going to come back at you guys next week with another podcast. And hopefully I'll have some guests on the show. I know I said on Twitter that I may take some calls, but I'm still trying to figure that out. And I might co-host with one of my friends that I used to do podcasts with, but that's to be determined. But thank you guys again. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And thanks for listening. And let's go Knicks.